Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody, and oh sure, I don't sound like Dave. In fact, I don't even sound like myself tonight. With a little bit of the cold I have, I'm Tim Dennis. Dave will be here shortly. He's actually just leaving Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, and he'll be joining us shortly. We have a great show tonight, both hours. Our first hour, we're going to talk to the crew from Paranormal State. And if you haven't heard of Paranormal State, by gosh, I don't know what you've been doing with yourself for the last couple of weeks. It's been everywhere. If you've tuned into A&E, which is the cable channel that Paranormal State is on, you've seen ads for it. You've seen little mini clips of the show, little sneak peeks into the show. If you went and checked your MySpace today, you've probably seen banner ads for Paranormal State. Ads everywhere. This thing is going to be huge. We've got the cast of Paranormal State in the first hour with us. Also, in the second hour, Bill Murphy will be joining us. We'll be talking about Frank's Box, which is a communication device to connect with the other side. We'll also be talking about some of the alternative devices that are out there and what exactly they do and why there's some controversy surrounding some of those devices as well. Couple of reminders for you before we get started with the program tonight. We still do have tickets available for our trip in January to right here in good old Minnesota, you know. We'll be having lutefisk and tater tot hot dish, and we'll be checking out the Palmer House Haunted Hotel. It'll be fun. With us is Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. We'll have the author of House and Spirits and Whispers, Annie Wilder, the editor and writer of Fate magazine, Phyllis Galdi. Myself and Dave will be there as well. I don't know that's a draw for you, but, you know, we'll be there. Psychic reader Tiffany Johnson, and if you met Scotty Roberts at the Stanley Hotel, our tarot consultant, by gosh, you'll want to get a reading from either him or Tiff. It's going to be a good time. Tickets are going quick. They're especially going quick since we were at the Queen Mary this past week, and people who got a little taste of the Darkness Radio Taps events are buying tickets quick as we speak. Go to www.darknessevents.com and get on board with that. And with that, why don't we join our first guest for the hour? On the line right now with us is Ryan Buell and Sergi from Paranormal State. Hey, guys.
Yo, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Not too bad. A little under the weather. We were at the Queen Mary this past week, and but we had a fun time.
Some hardcore partying, huh?
Yeah, I was told by Chad Kale, like, don't touch the handrails at the Queen Mary. So I actually went along and licked a lot of them just to see what would happen.
That sounds like me on a drunken Penn State night.
Exactly. There you go.
You know, this is probably, you know, I've known of you guys for like 2 years. This is probably the longest I've ever talked to you already. We just started.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Well, there's a reason I'm behind the scenes, Ryan. No, I'm kidding. You know, I find this whole Paranormal State marketing campaign fascinating. This is huge.
It is. It's, in fact, there's articles in press just on the marketing alone. Which is kind of weird. There's an article in the New York Times today about two things that the A&E marketing people have done that's never been done before in the States. One is in L.A. They have a billboard that is 3D animatronic. The face will pop out of the billboard and look at you, and then it'll go back into the billboard. Kind of like Freddy Krueger, Nightmare Before Elm Street.
Wow.
When Freddy Krueger kind of comes through the walls. And then the other one is that there's a billboard in New York City that's causing, like, a lot of commotion because it's some sort of hypersonic technology where people are walking by this billboard and people hear voices that sound like it's coming from inside their head, like it's not your imagination or something else. And what it is it beams directly and it kind of bounces, whatever it bounces off of, it sounds like it's coming from. So it sounds like it's coming like either you have headphones on or it's coming from inside your head. And it's definitely caused a stir. It's pretty cool.
That's absolutely wild.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that, you know, to be associated with the show that's doing that. But, you know, it's just promotional stuff.
I hear you. Now, before we get into the whole paranormal state thing and what exactly it's about, let's get a little background on your crew. First of all, I got to tell people real quick, kind of a cross-promotional thing. If you go to www.anetv.com, check out Paranormal State there. They have a whole website devoted to not only clips from the show, but introduce every one of your team members. It's there are clips of each individual team member from the show. And you really, I went to it this afternoon. I went to it a little bit on Saturday and just kind of perused around. You really get to know your team just from the website alone.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad they do that. I think they're trying to show people we're real people. You know, we're not assembled for the show. We're not, there's nothing fake about us. You know, and you kind of get to know about us before you kind of delve into our adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Into the unknown.
And what many people don't even know yet is that if you go to aneinsider.com, you can make another account and access these other videos. They even have a video that they did on Xander, which is Ryan's dog.
Really?
So we have an official PRS dog, kind of like...
He's like our Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Aww. That's always good to have one of those. What do you have to feed him? Anything special, or is it Xander snacks?
He loves cheese.
Ooh.
But after like an hour or so, you start to regret that you gave him cheese.
I was going
to
say, that could affect your investigation there, couldn't it?
So, no, you know, we've only taken him on like one or two just to babysit. But yeah, he's a fun guy.
Well, let's get into the beginnings of the group here. And I know we've gone over it in past shows about how everything started, but let's recap for everybody. Ryan, give us the background of the Penn State PRS, or PRS as it's just referred to on the show.
Right. Well, just, you know, briefly, I had a paranormal experience when I was young, and especially growing up down south, it was very taboo to talk about, and they pushed really for me to just forget about it, ignore it, it'll go away. But as I grew up, you know, it's not something you can really forget, especially when it wasn't your happy Casper kind of a haunting. And, when I got to Penn State, when I was 19, you know, they boast that Penn State's one of the largest universities in the country. It's got over 600 organizations, all these different departments. I thought, okay, they got to have something here for, you know, paranormal research in general. And to my surprise, there was nothing. And so I was at a crossroads. It was, do I sit around and wait for this university or someone in it to create something, or do I create it? And so I took that route of creating it, and it's been a long process because, you know, as you can see with the show, we're not a club. We treat what we do very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just here to do research. Our main goal is helping people understand what they're going through, whether it's paranormal or not. And what I've found over the past 6 years of doing PRS is that there are very real people out there. People who have paranormal experiences can't be categorized into one column. I mean, you've got people from different ethnic backgrounds, different ages, different economic backgrounds, things like that, all having experiences. And they've turned to traditional science and psychology for explanations, and they found none, and that's why they turned to us.
How do you get a major university like Penn State to say, hey, you know what, yeah, we'll affiliate ourselves with you, why not?
It's really hard for them to discriminate against this sort of thing nowadays. The way they can discriminate, you know, against us might be through something else if they think that we're dangerous or we're harmful to our members or if we've hazed our members, things like that. So really, they can't turn it down. I mean, there's some really ridiculous organizations at Penn State. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, just some really weird, crazy organizations. But we did get denied at first, which, you know, their excuse was they didn't understand what we were trying to do, and they couldn't categorize us. They didn't know where to put us, you know, because when you do a group or organization, you have to be placed in certain categories, and they had no idea where we fit into it all. So I just remember having the hearing a bunch of just vacant expressions, like, you know, what do they want to do? you know, nowadays I've kind of paved that way. It's a lot more understandable, and you know, now I'm hearing about other people at other universities who are trying to develop something at their school.
And Ryan, if I remember correctly, I remember you telling us, telling me at least when I first joined PRS, that you had to go into the environmental
health
agency.
And safety. Yeah,
health and safety agency. I mean,
when I mentioned something in passing, Tim, about how, I don't know, I was really dumb, and I was like, well, you know, they asked, like, you're going into people's homes, aren't you? Could something bad happen? I said, well, you know, if someone becomes demonically possessed, there have been horror stories of people being thrown out the windows and blah, 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 and that just kind of freaked them out, so they required me to go to environmental health and safety to make sure that we weren't at risk or that we weren't harmful. And I remember going there, and the people looked at me like, why are you here? Because of demonic possession? How do we verify that you're going to be safe for that? So they just signed off on it. So
sounds very interesting. Now, let me ask you this. Does Penn State have anything paranormal in their curriculum or in their lineup of classes, or do you have a professor there at Penn State who kind of backs the group?
We have a few. You know, when we first started out, it was all undergrad, and then there were some people from, you know, residential people. And then, especially in the past 2 years, we've gotten a lot of interest from staff and faculty, psychologists, counselors, neuroscientists.
Engineers,
chemists. What's the other big one? The one that I just can't explain. Physics, you know, whatever that, you know, like that stuff is just like mind-boggling in my opinion. But all those different branches, they've been coming in and just, they're really fascinated. And what I find curious is that, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was hard just to, you know, get students interested. But now, and it's not because of the TV show, because this is before the TV show, there's a lot of interest, even in the academic part of Penn State.
And as far as classes go, doesn't Penn State offer a couple of occult classes or mythology?
Yeah, they offer a couple that I hear about that touch a little bit on paranormal. But, you know, Penn State's actually a very conservative university. But, you know, the funny thing is that ever since the show is kind of starting to come in the limelight, there's definitely some interest within the university about starting something. So, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and, you know, we're going to talk about it next semester.
And then let me ask you this too, Ryan. Now, what do you attribute the success to the group, you know, people wanting to look into the group and be a part of the group? Do you attribute it to TV directly? Do you attribute it to movies? Or is it just a natural curiosity you feel students may have about the afterlife? And as they're kind of growing themselves and getting used to things on campus and kind of exploring new chapters in their life, that's a natural extension?
I think it kind of falls into three things, which all kind of tie in together. One, pop culture. You see a lot about paranormal in pop culture these days. I think it really started in like 99 with The Sixth Sense, and then in 2000 the re-release of The Exorcist, Signs, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Mothman Prophecies became a movie. Then you have Ghost Hunters, Medium, Ghost Whisperer. I mean, it's just kind of exploded, really. And what is it? You know, Lifetime and we have a whole day, you know, prime time slot devoted to paranormal stuff, and we're, you know, we're now one of the big shows coming out about it, and I think that has kind of came about. But, you know, those shows, you know, they only come into fruition because, you know, there's an active interest in that. And one person told me an interesting theory. It was some professor. I was remember listening to a lecture, and he said, you know, there's a lot more concentration and discussion on death nowadays post 9/11. Because, you know, we're not the happy-go-lucky society that we were, like, in the 90s. You know, there's, you know, every time you pick up a newspaper, there's death toll in Iraq, death toll here, you know, and there's this constant fear of terror attacks and nuclear bombs, you know, bomb threats from Iran and then China, you know, people are worried about, you know, so there's just so much going on in the world right now that there's almost like a, you know, an hysteria, if you will, and people are thinking a little bit more about, you know, death and naturally the afterlife and their spirituality. That's definitely something that I've kind of noticed, and other people will pick up on that.
Hey, Ryan, this is Dave back with you.
Yo, Dave.
How you guys doing?
I'm Dave. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, listening to the questions and everything, I'm curious, too, if you find, you know, with the psychics that you've used, mediums, religion, the different people in this field, are they telling you as well? I mean, we hear it, Tim and I, at all these events, there's a huge shift coming. There seems to be some kind of wave that just is opening up for spirituality, for religion, for exploration. You know, I mean, do you find with the people that are coming to you from all walks of life, I mean, everybody from occult specialists to the scientists to the, you know, religious leaders, are you finding that you're seeing that there's kind of an awakening going on as well?
Yeah, ever since, you know, I got into this really heavily, especially with some of the demonic stuff, I've kind of talked to people about that, and anywhere from priests to, you know, the psychics that I've brought on, and other specialists, and even just my clients, you know, there's something very real going on right now. We're kind of in a chaotic time where people are searching for something new, and I think that, you know, we're changing the way we view things on life. I think that our spirituality is changing, and I think that's a tribute to many things, you know, with science and with the times, you know, I mean, you know, religion, the, you know, Catholicism, especially, and Christianity has changed over time.
Are you getting
the period
at a college? I mean, you get kids from all over the world that come there. Do you show, you know, our kids from other backgrounds, other foreign backgrounds and religions, showing an interest in this as well?
Yeah, they are. You know, not as much as I'd like. They have different viewpoints on it than I think we do, and maybe it's just a communication barrier. But we do have a few people. You know, from India, from Japan, even some from the Caribbean, even who, and they all, you know, they all come from different cultures. So they have a different viewpoint on how the, you know, they view the paranormal. Some of them are very afraid to touch the subject. Like some people just straight up will not have anything to do with us because of their religious viewpoints.
What are you finding, you know, in the group? What do you find with these people that come to you from foreign cultures and religions? Are there, you know, I know there's differences in cultural breakdowns in language, but are you finding that there is also a connection, you know, like an unspoken deal that seems to be taking place in all these other religions as well, and you know, ethnicities, that there seems to be a certain way that they handle this spirituality or the ghost hunting whole side of things that's going on in their cultures as well?
Honestly, I think, and Sergi's a great person to talk about this because I think it's all about soul searching. And, you know, Sergi, for example, he's Russian, and he was a complete atheist, and yet he joined PRS because, you know, he had his own questions, right, Serge?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with an older friend, and I looked up to that older friend because, you know, he was 1 year older than me, and at that time I thought that was, like, the most amazing thing ever, and he was an atheist his entire life.
Okay.
And he downplayed religion and everything, and so I guess I kind of followed that, not, you know, not thinking really much about it, and my parents didn't really put any pressure on me about following religion or going to synagogues or churches or anything like that. And when I got to college, I began to explore sort of different informations and different kind of aspects of religion. I started watching shows about ghosts, and that whole sort of phenomena intrigued me, and I thought that, you know, well, maybe if I see a ghost, if I see a spirit, that would mean God exists. That would be kind of like the proof for God's existence.
No.
So when I joined
Paranormal Research, yeah, I was going to say, are you finding that we're having more, you know, an effect? I mean, you're dealing with demonic problems. You're dealing with all these spirituality deals. Has your look and outlook on religion and life changed as well, Sergi? Then, I mean, are you feeling that it's you know, there's something out there now?
Well, I definitely feel like there's something out there, but with that, it came more confusion because, you know, I experienced something paranormal and I didn't know how to explain it scientifically. So suddenly, I was starting to question my, you know, was it all in my head? Was I just, like, you know, making stuff up in my head and just thinking that happened to me? Or is there really something out there? But just a whole bunch of strange coincidental events began to happen. And, you know, you read about this kind of stuff where, you know, there's synchronicity and, you know, coincidences don't have to be just coincidence. You know, they could be explained by faith, or there's some sort of plan. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's God out there or anything yet. I really don't know. All I know is that my eyes have certainly opened up to a different sort of world, and I no longer kind of think that there's nothing out there, and that after we die, there's just death. I definitely think that there's something out there. I just don't know what, and that's kind of what I'm still exploring.
Well, does that, now, when you're called in on these cases, Sergi, that have had demonic connotations to them. What is that? I mean, are you accepting it as demonic? Or are you just accepting it as a malevolent, pissed off spirit? What's your take on that now?
I'm pretty much going in there as a tech guy, and pretty much I'm letting Ryan take care of that. And the way I look at it is, as long as I'm with, you know, my friends and people who love me and I love them back, I know I'll be protected and I'll be safe. So I'm not there going in and, you know, I'm not going to start taunting the demonic and going, you know, well,
yourself. But I guess what I'm not asking about that end of it, but I mean, you're referring to it as a demonic. If there is a demon, wouldn't that then beg the fact that then there is angelic and there's a heavenly host? I mean, that's all I'm asking for, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot with religion, I'm just wondering how an atheist is affected by investigating the paranormal. Are you yourself allowing yourself to believe, well, then there is a demonic, there is this evil, or are you dismissing it as more of just an angry spirit?
I think, you know, we all have different labels, but they all have the same meanings, and I tend to look at it as either a negative energy or a positive energy, and to me, that's all kind of the same. So when Ryan refers to something as demonic, I tend to look at it as a negative energy, and that could mean either a malevolent ghost or something that we don't know that's out there, you know.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't trying to push you on the subject of religion. I just was curious how that plays in.
You know, yeah, that's definitely interesting stuff.
Do you see, Ryan, with other people that have come to the group that have different religious backgrounds, and they see you, you know, or the priest or religious leader that you're working with evoke the name of Jesus Christ to do that? Does it have an effect on them coming from backgrounds where maybe their belief is in Buddha or in Ronald Reagan or whatever, you know, whoever they want to believe
Ronald
in?
Ronald Reagan.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing, you know. People have different belief systems, but have you seen profound changes in people that maybe didn't have a faith or a belief in, you know, the Christianity form of religion?
You mean clients or investigators?
Both.
Well, first of all, when we deal with clients, we always work with their religious background.
Mm-hmm.
So we would never bring a Catholic priest into, like, say, a Buddhist faith. So we always work within their boundaries because, you know, there's a cultural and religious element when we deal with these hauntings.
Right.
But with my investigators, you know, for example, Elfie is a pagan. You know, she definitely has a different viewpoint on the demonic. She definitely believes in negative beings, you know, and we have people who, you know, we have one investigator who just doesn't really think there really is any bad out there. And I have to sit there and say, well, you believe in bad people, right? Well, yeah. Well, then I think that, you know, if you believe in ghosts, you know, ghosts are people, so they're good and they're bad. So both my investigators, they always respect what field we go into. We don't push our beliefs onto clients. So if we go into a Christian home and we've got a Buddhist investigator with us, we respect the client's religious beliefs. We would never have the Buddhist person say, you know, okay. But but going into demonic cases, Dave, these people have kind of questioned their take on things because they have seen, you know, they have kind of seen hints of the personification of evil, and it has kind of, you know, it has changed their outlook. You know, it's kind of made them question things.
Well, that's what I would wonder. Now, I got to guess some of these people that are dealing with demonics that maybe don't have a religious upbringing, or, you know, they're Jewish or Buddhist or whatever. If things are not going well, have they ever said, just do, you know, resort to Christianity, resort to whatever, just get it done and get it the hell out of here?
I've heard of cases of that, yeah. But I've also worked with priests who, exorcists, who, in the Catholic faith, because I'm Catholic, who have cooperated with other religions and, you know, Buddhist monks and rabbis and have assisted in that rite. Now, granted, in the Christian rite, it's all about invoking the name of Jesus.
Right.
And I've never witnessed a Jewish exorcism, so to speak, but I have worked on cases that I have referred them to, you know, Jewish exorcists or something like that. But I was never there to witness that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guests right now, the cast of Paranormal State. Stay with us. We're going to be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got a pig.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboards are on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
I've got a blowout. Number three. Get your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out again. Hold altitude.
Correction. Alpha hold is off. Trip selected. Emergency. Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set dip, shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Force, run! Run, Force!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We appreciate you being here with us every Sunday night from 10 to midnight Central Time. Tell your friends about us. If you can't listen live, remember, we archive all of our shows. You can go to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the listen button, and you can listen to the last... Oh, that's okay, Ryan. People can download the show there.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. What are you doing to me? We've got on the line with us the cast of a brand new paranormal show called Paranormal State that's going to be on starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 10.
A&E, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Is that right?
That's correct.
So it'll be 9 o'clock Central Time. That's 8 o'clock Pacific. So, or I'm sorry, 7 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Or check your local listings at A&E.com. And get the information there. And I think you can also go to paranormalstate.com for all the updates. So this is pretty exciting, Ryan. I met you, almost 3 years ago now.
Yep.
Saw this whole thing starting to develop, all the exciting stuff going on in the field with you guys and knowing that this show is launching. And you've got about how many in the can now have you filmed?
We did an initial order of 13 episodes, but then the network was just so pleased with it, they ordered more, so now we have 20.
Oh, wow. 20 pieces altogether. 20 different
yep.
episodes? Great. Well, congratulations. Episodes.
Thank you.
Now, we've talked to you and Serge. We've
yep.
got you've got Elfie and Katrina and Heather with you as well, correct?
Yep.
Who else do you have on the line with us right now?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Is this the
this is Katrina.
The effervescent Katrina?
Yes. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, Katrina, were you interested in the paranormal before... you heard that there was going to be a TV show at Penn State?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I grew up in a house with activity, and my mom's side of the family is very, very open-minded to it. So it was always, in my house, it was always okay to explore that. And then my brother passed away in 97, and there was a lot that surrounded that made me more interested. And then when I got to Penn State, I actually joined the club in 2004. But there was a lot that happened in my personal life, and I had to take a break from it. So then it came back in 2006. So it's always been a part of my life, though. Yeah, definitely.
So now you're part of this. We had the opportunity to watch one of the episodes.
Yes.
At UNIFCON, and excuse me, it was the thing that struck me and impressed me most about this show, Ryan, too, was the fact that when things started to get a little hot and heated with the dark side that was kind of coming through, next scene you've got Heather and Katrina back at the hotel.
In bed.
Wow, wait a minute. So, Ryan, that's how your paranormal investigations go, huh? Things get crazy and all of a sudden
it's always fun here in PRS.
Paranormal porn suddenly, I guess. No, but you've got the girls back at the hotel in safe. In a safe mode, in a safe place, so that they're not dealing while you're back at the hotel. Let me make sure that we say that again. While you and Sergi were back at the investigation with Elfie, you had the two newer members safe and far enough away from the malevolent thing that was popping up here. Because it's pretty, I don't want to give anything away, it's pretty profound what was going on in that episode and what popped up. And it was a surprise to you and a surprise to a few other people there. So that you took the responsibility to remove these newer members from something that could be a potentially really bad thing. That was very impressive. Now, Katrina, how did you feel when he tapped you and said, "Listen, you got to go back"?
Well, it's funny because when we realized that what was going on, you know, Heather and I were just like, like, because he had told us before if things ever got out of hand, you know, he would take care of us and he would make the best decision at that time, and during that episode, Heather and I hadn't even begun that part of our training class. So at that time, they all felt it was the best thing to take us home. And, you know, we were a little taken back from it just because we didn't know what was going on at the time. But, you know, we were also very grateful that we work with people that...
had your back, right?
Definitely had our back. And it's funny because people always ask me, like, what's the scariest moment you've ever had? And it's really weird because I haven't, just because I know that the four other people on the show completely have my back and that they would never let anything bad happen. So, well, there's a lot of trust that goes on between us.
Now, did you, when they're telling you, hey, you got to go, do you get this twist in your stomach of, holy crap, I'm worried about the rest of my team, or you know, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, it's not totally new to you, but it's... you know, having that kind of darker side show up, I mean, did that throw you for a loop? Were you concerned then for the team, or did you feel that, and you don't have to kiss the boss's butt too hard there and say that you knew Ryan could tear open a shirt and Indiana Jones the demon into a fiery cradle of hell or something, but I mean, you know, where were your thought processes on that?
It wasn't so much being taken back by it, but I remember Heather and I definitely stayed up for a really long time that night talking about all the possibilities that could be going on. We were definitely scared for them because, you know, these aren't only people that we work with, but these are our close friends.
Right.
And, you know, obviously we want to have their back as much as they have ours. So we stayed up for a good long time that night talking about it and hoping that they were okay and hoping that the family was okay.
Meanwhile, you were doing your hair and having pillow fights with the webcam on.
We were having pillow fights, Dave. I don't know how you know this. Sixth Sense, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
I'll be selling
Dave
your videos
has his own
online.
Cam.
That's right.
On the show. We gave exclusive rights.
The Same Darkness cam. Radio cam. when you're... Now, how many episodes were you able to take part in then, Katrina?
I think 17. There were a few I couldn't go to because of school. Just interfered.
School? Pff, you're on TV. Screw school. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's right. We can't do that.
Who needs no stinking degree?
Exactly. I'm famous now.
Yeah, at least 17.
So you've been in 17. Mm-hmm. Has there been, and I know you can't give away any episodes,
right?
But has there been a holy beep moment for you where you thought, maybe this isn't the field for me?
No, there has never been a time where I've questioned whether or not I want to do this. It's funny because I was just talking to the girls about it today. I can't imagine my life without this. And, you know, I've only been working with these people for a year, and I can't imagine my life without them. And it's the same thing. I can't imagine, you know, walking away from this and knowing that there's people that need help and knowing that I've had the training to help them and not being able to do it. So there's never been something that's, you know, shook me so much where I would consider walking away from this.
All right. Well, before we put Heather on the phone, you can rat her out. Was there anything that scared the hell out of her that you had to hold her hand
for? I'll leave that for Heather.
Oh, come on.
It's a cliffhanger.
Oh, the cliffhanger. Good deal. Well, Katrina, we'd love to have you back on the show after a couple more episodes there, and we've watched you and your pillow fight webcam. And,
yes, I'm sure you have. On slow motion, too, haven't you?
Yes, excellent. My TiVo's burned out. I don't know what's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. They are very serious. And, you know, we had the moment of little laughter at the event when we watched it, because it is funny. It's this deep, dark episode where just this stuff's going on, and all of a sudden it's like, meanwhile, we sent Heather and Katrina back to the room, and they're both kneeling in their bed with their little webcam on going, okay, this is a, we all just sort of bounce, bow, bow in the background. But it was very well done, because it is very tasteful in the fact that you moved them out of there, and you gave their perspective, which I thought was great, because, you know, instead of just sending home the newbies and then wondering what the hell they're thinking, it was great to see them have a chance to, you know, kind of verbalize where their thought process was at that point too, and removing them from a potentially dangerous situation.
Well, you know, Dave, I mean, I've had investigations in the past where I've brought relatively new people on board, and I've let them stay, and I've seen what it can do. And I'm by no means trying to scare people or give people their kicks in that sense. I've seen that some of the stuff, especially with what you might call demonic, and that stuff pops up, it can mess with people's heads and their lives. And it's not that, if anything so much as scary happens, I'm kicking Heather and Katrina out. I just felt that at that time, they weren't yet ready. I wanted to make sure that they matured a bit more.
Oh, no, that's great, yeah. Well, Katrina, you have a good one. We're looking forward to seeing you on the show tomorrow night.
Definitely.
And the episode we saw is the second episode airing tomorrow night, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you'll be on there. We'll look forward to seeing you on there. Thank you very much. Let me ask, while you're getting Heather on the line here, and then we'll wrap up with Elfie with you. Let me ask you, Ryan, when you're bringing these people in, and now you've had, unfortunately, a lot of dealings with more of the darker forces.
Mm-hmm.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, a lot of paranormal groups will go out and investigate for years, and they don't, you know, maybe they cross one or two that they think, well, this could be, you know, dealing with the demonic side of things. What do you attribute your luck to?
You know, it all started in some random day in January when I got an email and a call from a family and from the Catholic Church, and this priest told me, I received a sign from God. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do this case. And it all started from there. And when I did that case, and we really helped that family, and it was a very dramatic case. I was told by the force, the demonic force, that it.
Good. I'm
me.
Glad you cleared that up, because for a minute there, I thought you were getting all Star Wars on me.
it said that it knew me now, and it wouldn't forget me, and that, you know, there'd be a time when it would come back after me. I'll be honest, you know, that worried the hell out of me. But the thing that I've learned over the years is that one of the biggest ploys of the demonic is they're dramatic. They have a very big flair for drama. So I said, you know what? You know, if it comes, it comes. I mean, I can't sit here hiding in my room, because one day it might pop out again.
I disagree, because Tim and I are sitting in our room hiding with garlic on the windowsill and water, holy water. And now I'm a little afraid to know you, because you've got demons looking for you, man.
Yeah. And you know Chip Coffee, whom is a regular psychic on the show, like he almost annoys me to the point, I mean that lovingly, because he taps into some force, and every once in a while what he claims the demon pops up and tries to warn me or scare me or say that it's about to attack me or my family. And I'm just like, and eventually I'm just like, you know what? Whatever. I'm like, I get it. You're evil. Ooh, scary. You know?
Ryan, we're really evil.
And I'm just like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just, you know, I take it as it is now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take our second break here. When we come back, why don't we, we'll wrap up. We'll talk to Elfie and Heather and Ryan. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town, our guest this evening. The cast of Paranormal State airing tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time on the A&E channel. We'll be back with more right after this.
Real. Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, when she moves.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
In the Amityville Horror, the ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now that's a hint and a half for your ass. A ghost say get the out, I would just tip the out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl with blood in the toilet.
Hey, so that's peculiar.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
We're the type of guys who would have stayed just for the extra company. Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Our guests this evening are the team and cast of the brand new show on A&E that starts tomorrow night, Monday, December 10th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. There'll be two back-to-back episodes you can watch. This is definitely an interesting show. You're going to want to check it out. It's called Paranormal State. The main cast of the state are the paranormal investigators of Penn State Paranormal Research Society. And it is an amazing group that we've had the chance and good fortune to work with over the last 2-3 years here. Great, great bunch of kids. I'm now 40 and I'm allowed to call them that, Tim.
It's a great bunch of kids out there.
They're
at Penn
wonderful.
State.
Someday I'm going to hire them to mow my lawn.
Well, that's right. So, listen, Ryan. Oh, bastards. So now, do we have Heather on the line?
Yes, you do.
How are you, Heather?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, we asked Katrina, I want to throw this at you, and in the episode that we were able to air, you know, saw at UNIFCON.
Yes.
At one point, you get removed from the investigation because things start to get a little hairy.
Uh-huh.
With a possible demonic. What was your thought? What's going through your head when they tell you, listen, this is getting to a point where we just don't want you here right now?
Well, I knew that when Ryan sent us home, it was for, you know, our own good in case it did get really bad. And me and Katrina weren't really through our training yet. You know, we were still trainees, so...
I've got to ask now, you both have mentioned that you weren't through your training. Uh-huh. How exactly does one train to deal with the forces of the devil? Does Ryan dress up like Satan and make you go through a paddle machine? Or does
role playing in my room.
Throw a little goat's blood on you and scream at you in foreign languages? I mean, what exactly do you do to go through training to deal with malevolent evil forces?
Well, we really, we took a class and we learned about, you know, what the demonic is, how it works. You know, what to do, what not to do, and just reading books, reading other people's stories and stuff like that.
I should jump in too, Dave, and just say, you know, like, I don't train people to deal with the demonic forces. I train people to recognize possible signs of demonic activity, and if they're not properly trained, how to step out and bring reinforcements in. And PRS does have a small team of investigators who have I wouldn't say training because we're not demonologists, but have a little bit of training and understanding of it that will come in and we'll bring in specialists.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Now, Heather, have you, you know, how many of the episodes have you been able to take part in?
I have been on 17 of them. Two of them I had to miss I missed them because of school. There's no way I could have missed a week of school. And then the one I declined to go on because it was a demonic case.
Oh, okay. Now, did you know it was demonic going in?
Yes.
Or did Ryan come back from the initial interview with blood splatters on his shirt and two sixes burned on his forehead and he didn't want to go back for the third? How did you know it was demonic going in?
Well, at our briefing, which is when, you know, we discussed the case, Ryan actually said it was possible that it could be a demonic case.
Well, you know, Dave, the episode that you saw, I guess in TV purposes, is considered a two-parter because that name that was mentioned was associated with next week's case. So that's why, you know, there was some apprehension, and that's why I knew about the name, because in the next investigation involved that name and that force,
And that's why it was so weird how Chip, who just came in and I literally just met him, you know, all this stuff kind of came together. So after that name episode, which you saw at Univcon, came about, we had a briefing for the next case, and Heather declined, right?
Yeah.
So you knew that this was going to be the follow part up to it, and good idea not to be a part of that. Huh? Now, Heather, with all the stuff that you've seen in your own personal life and dealt with now with the show,
has there
been anything where it's made you kind of stand back and question if you want to continue in this field?
No, definitely not, because I really enjoy it, and the fact that we're helping people, I just, you know, I want to help people and learn more about the paranormal, so I really enjoy it. There's only just the demonic case when we knew. I was just like, something in my head was telling me not to go, and I still wasn't, you know, through training yet, so I felt like I still had to learn more.
Well, you know, use that same voice when you go out and meet guys at the bar, okay? if you get that sense, run like hell. Go ahead, Ryan, you were about to say?
I was going to say, you know, Heather's such a happy-go-lucky person.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, she's always smiling. So it was really weird and slightly sad, you know, when she said, you know, and that's why I knew she was serious, you know, because during the second part of it, she was like, I don't feel comfortable going. And that's why I think, you know, I kind of, where Heather and I kind of built that respect, she kind of earned my respect because, you know, I thought, okay, you know, I don't know these girls too much yet, you know, is she just thinking, oh, this was fun, you know, demons, ghosts, but when it came to that, she was very serious. And she
I totally
like, you
watched
know.
Scooby-Doo, and that was awesome. Can I be a part of the team?
Yeah.
Now, do you, Heather, we want to wish you a lot of luck with the show, and like I
Thank
said to
you.
Katrina, we'd like to have you back on after some of the episodes of Air to kind of talk to you about the specific things that you guys were involved in.
Oh, definitely.
All right, and you have a great one. Now, let me ask you, Ryan,
mm-hmm.
You know, the ladies on your team are not too hard to look at. Were you forced to, you know, and be honest here with us, I mean, were you forced to maybe go with some more of the camera-friendly people for your show, or did you go with people that
nope.
you felt you had more trust in that would have your back in this kind of thing?
I don't let the producers or production or anyone tell me what I have to do. I've definitely given producers some gray hairs because they're like, you know, we need to do this, and they've never, for one, ever asked me to fake anything, but when it came to choosing my investigators,
mm-hmm.
I said, this is the team. And, for example, Elfie isn't a Penn State student, and there were a lot of issues with that, and they knew that I was not going to, you know, move forward without Elfie. So, yeah, when it came to Heather and Katrina, I mean, we had a lot of people pass through, some, you know, great-looking gals, some great-looking guys. But what it all came down to was, you know, their personality and their devotion to it. And we brought on other trainees, actually, to go through training, but they all dropped out. Surprisingly enough, Heather and Katrina were the only, well, one other person who comes on later, they were the only people who stuck through it all.
Now, did you feel, you know, by having this, did you have any concerns being, you know, the leader of this group? You're a good-looking guy, Sergi's a good-looking guy, and all of a sudden you've got the, you know, paranormal Charlie's Angels joining you.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Yeah, exactly. Were you worried that might discount or detract from the legitimacy of the show when it aired?
No. I, you know, I've had brush, you know, moments in the past where I've had something with possibly, you know, where I've kind of flirted around with another, I guess, investigator, if you will, and it always ended badly. So I kind of maintained that boundary, you know, and Katrina and Heather, you know, are definitely beautiful, beautiful ladies, and you know, and not to sound all mushy, but, you know, they're kind of like my sisters, you know, I feel
right.
protective of them and everything, you know, there's...
Well, I didn't mean so much for dating, but I mean, did you have a concern that people would look at this and say, oh, it's just the real world meets paranormal?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally hear you. Well, even at Univcon, didn't someone yell out, you know, was this cast assembled or is this a real team? Because
right.
you guys look a little too good for TV. No, I mean, it's, you know, we're a real team.
Got to tell you, after watching the one episode, though, you guys have to stop with the dramatic lighting behind you and the fans blowing your hair and you making the kissy faces at the camera. I think it's a demon, Serge.
Blue steel.
That's right, the blue steel. Well, now, do we have Elfie there? Is she with us?
Madam Elfie's on the line.
Hey, Elfie, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. Now, we've, as I was saying, you've got the paranormal trio of femme fatales on the show, Ryan. And Elfie, you've been with the team for quite a while. I know that I met you 3 years ago at that UNIFCON and have been interested and went to your first occult program. Now, can I ask you, getting into the paranormal, how often do you find that your occult background, and I don't mean you were part of an occult, but I mean that you that you study the occult, how often do you find that that's important when you're doing these investigations?
Well, not very much episodes-wise, but before the show, we've had cases where there was the possibility of the occult, but it always turns out to be rumors. It really ends up being like the neighbor seeing something like, oh my God, they're practicing some witchcraft. And it's like, no, not really.
Although one case, though, Elfie, you did pretty well in. It was one of the demonic cases where we found some stones. Like, what was it, the blood red stone? The amber. And some other things that she looks like she's drawing a blank, but there have definitely been times when she's identified things that suggested possible occult activity. Very minor things.
Yeah, it's usually with those things, it's like they don't exactly put them out on display.
Right.
Like very common stuff, though.
Now, Elfie, just as humans, I mean, let's face it, we're lowly idiot humans on this planet. There's demons, there's angels, there's gods, there's deities, all these things around us, do we really have the power to conjure and ask demons and evil things into our world? Can't they just manifest themselves? Do they really need a door opened by a dumbass human?
Not always, really. They can be let... Well, that's like dumbass humans can let these things in without even knowing it. I mean, you can do something that someone will pop in and didn't even know you did it. So, but not really... Like deities, I don't think they need anyone to open a door for them. They'll make their own.
What do you recommend for people that are getting involved in the paranormal? A lot of people want to do things like scrying or automatic writing, using the pendulums, using Ouija boards, things like that. Is there anything that you'd say, hey guys, this is just not a good idea unless you really know what the hell you're doing? Is there anything in specific that you would just tell people to stay away from?
Well, with like scrying and automatic writing and everything, I would definitely tell them to do their research before they pull out the pendulum and the paper and start doing this stuff, because like you got a 50-50 chance of either nothing happening or something happening. So I would definitely tell them just to do their research before they jump feet first into it.
All right. Well, that's a good plan. And Elfie, we look forward to seeing you on the show.
Thank you.
And it's going to be exciting. Again, it's cool to watch your friend succeed, and I'm glad to see that you made it on. You're going to be a part of the show. And just remember your old friends at Darkness Radio when you're rich and famous, okay, Elfie?
Of course.
Good old Dan Schaefer and Tom whatever his name is, right? Well, Ryan, we've got about a minute and a half left. What else can you share with us about the show? What else do you want to let people know that's going to set Paranormal State apart from the rest of the shows out in the industry right now?
Well, for those, who are looking for evidence, analysis, and things like that, that's not what the show's about. There are episodes that are more evidence or tech heavy than there are other ones that are very minimal and slight on that. Really, we're trying to help people. We take this from a clinical approach.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the show, if you want to have, you want to learn something and take something out of it, how about dealing with people and these aspects about it all, and the cultural and religious aspects of helping people? Just getting evidence. How does that help somebody? What do you do afterwards? And that's kind of what we do. Whether it's paranormal or not, there are people who are haunted, they have questions, and they want help. And that's what our show is about.
And that's, that's one thing that Tim and I have always talked about on the show with all the paranormal shows that have come out in the marketplace. So many people are, I think, they're missing the point of, it should be about helping people that are having real problems.
Yep.
And your curiosity should be second.
Exactly. That is exactly what's kind of how it developed with the show, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, good. And congratulations again, Ryan. It couldn't happen to a bunch of nicer kids, and we wish you a lot of luck. We're going to be watching along with the rest of the nation tomorrow. And, again, we hope to have you on here in the future and talk about some of the follow-up shows and see what else we can deal with. And again, people can check that out 10 o'clock Eastern time on the A&E channel. And for more information, you can always go to PennStatePRS.com for the, I believe it's .com or .org.
.com.
So it's
PennStateParanormalState.com too.
Or ParanormalState.com to get all the information. You can also check it out at A&E. Thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure to stay tuned for the second hour. We've got kind of a controversial topic. We're going to be talking about an ITC form of communicating with the dead. It's popularly known as Frank's Box. We're going to have Bill Murphy on the line, who's friends with Frank Sumption, the creator, and he's going to talk to us about the different versions that are out on the marketplace, the drama that's going on in the marketplace about this, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. So stay tuned. We'll be back with more and all of your questions right after this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.